everyone. I'm Lana. I'm happy to introduce Charles Bousman from Russia Insider. If you haven't been to the website, you're missing out. We're going to talk all about Russia, including the anti-Russia hysteria in the West. So stick around. Charles Bousman, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Russia Insider, so I'm really excited about this. It's going to be a good one.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah.
So, you know, I think a good place to start is tell us how Russia Insider was started, how you ended up in Russia. Tell us the story.
Oh, well, I've been living and doing business in Russia for many, many years. I came here right after college, which was in the late 80s. I worked a little bit in journalism, but then I mostly worked in business for the next 20 years. I just started Russia Insider as really a hobby 3 years ago when the Ukraine war started. And I was absolutely incensed. I was furious about what were obviously to me lies in the American media about what was going on in the Ukraine. And I put it together with a couple of buddies who are also expats here in Moscow. And we thought it was going to be like this little hobby thing where, you know, 200 people and a few of our friends would be reading it. And it completely exploded. And it was just the right thing at the right time. And we just kept feeding it and feeding it. And now it's really big. It gets like across all our platforms, it gets about 10 million views a month.
That's great.
Yeah. And we're reaching a lot of people. And we get a ton. I get a ton of correspondence from people saying, you have changed my life. You opened my eyes. There are so many people out there who still do not know what's going on. And I think we're one of the cutting edge places where people sort of wake up and realize that they can't trust the media anymore.
I think the good thing is too that it's in English. That's the huge thing, is the language barrier. You know, we were talking about earlier how a lot of people don't really know what's going on in Russia because they can't speak the language. And so, you know, you're bringing some of those things to people through alternative media. I mean, language is a huge issue, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so many people writing about Russia in the West don't speak Russian and haven't really been here and don't know much about Russian history. It's amazing, all these Russian experts flying around. So we try and find people who really do understand Russia and understand the language and the country very well and try and get their material out. And it makes a huge difference.
Now, we hear so much, you know, misinfo, disinfo about Russia. You've lived in America, you lived in Russia. What is, to you, the biggest difference between the two countries?
Oh my God, that's a
that's huge. I know there's so many things,
yeah,
culturally, politically.
Obviously, there's so many differences, right? There, but the one that strikes me as somebody who's interested in politics and geopolitics and what's going on in the world is that Russia is the only major European country that whose media is not controlled by Jewish interests. And it makes a huge difference on a day-to-day level in what's going on here. It's also the only major European country that is avowedly Christian. And that makes for a very different feel around here. So I'm not saying these are the main differences, but they're the ones that strike me frequently. And it's not something that's coming across in the mainstream media in the West.
Now, you also don't have the same level of cultural Marxism like we do in America. You don't have SJWs, correct? You don't have that kind of thing in Russia.
You don't have this. Yeah, you do have it to an extent, because there's a segment of the Russian population that's very liberal, and they always have been. It's been, you know, ever since the 17th century and Peter the Great, and then all through the 18th century. And that's how the revolution started, because of these basically SJWs back in the 19th century and the early 20th century. So you've always had that, and it's still here, and it's still maybe 10-15% of the population, higher in the big cities like Moscow and St. Petersburg. But the country itself is not that way at all. And the political power is not that way at all. And so these people are very much on the outside, you know, trying to get in which is directly the opposite of the situation in the West.
Now, how are expats treated over there? I mean, because I don't think you have any Slavic heritage. How are you treated as an American?
Yeah, no, I don't have any Slavic Russian background. Treated very, very nicely. And this is one of the things that Russians are an extremely warm-hearted, welcoming, hospitable, and friendly culture. Almost to a fault, sometimes I think they should be more suspicious of these foreigners running around here. they're an extremely warm, kind, and nice people. And despite all this, you know, this is amazing. I mean, I think any other country at this point would be like, you know, very angry at Americans if they just met them in person, the amount of abuse Russia's been getting from America. But Russians aren't like that. They don't take it personally, and they're very warm and friendly.
A lot of them must be laughing about the anti-Rus, you know, hysteria in America, if they even know about it. Well, I'm sure they probably know about it, right?
Oh, they know about it extremely well, because the Russian government is constantly using this to say, see, the world is against us and we're under threat here. And so it's on the news all the time. It's on the TV all the time. People talk about it all the time. And they're just amazed. They're it's like jaw dropping for them. They think that America is going crazy, which I would agree with, actually. I think that's true.
I think I was in Russia, it was back in the 90s. I was a teenager with my parents, you know, spent some time there. And it was kind of depressing because it was the fall of the, you know, Soviet Union. Things were just kind of turning around. And it was very different now. I mean, things are thriving there. There's lots of wealth and technology and business is booming, right? I mean, things are pretty well over there.
Yeah, it's very dynamic. Yeah. Yeah. You definitely have a feel here of like a very dynamic sort of Asian style society and economy that's changing very quickly and modernizing very quickly. And, a lot of very rapid growth.
My only problem is those high gulag style apartment buildings. I know you get those in Sweden and a lot of like, you know, like that Soviet block look. You have that in socialist countries. I think they should just level those out and just bring in like the beautiful old architecture again, you know.
It's really sad, but what can you do? You know, this stuff was put in by these basically nihilist psychopaths, and it's too expensive and too valuable to blow up and destroy and build over. And so it's this horrible scar on what is otherwise a very beautiful country and beautiful towns when you look at the older buildings. And it's like, I always think of it as like a disease, like you think of a patient who's gone through a terrible disease and then they have a terrible sort of scar, yeah. You know, to as a memory of it. But I guess that goes with the country's past.
No, you've ended up back in America. So what happened? Why'd you come back?
Yeah, I'm actually in Russia right now on a trip. But yeah, no, we moved back to the States. By we, I mean me and my family. I basically, this has become like a political project and a political cause almost. And very much it is, sometimes I think it's more like a political movement than a publication. We're reader supported. People send us in money and with great enthusiasm and sort of gratitude and say, thank you for doing what you do. We need more of it. You know, please keep it up. And with all the craziness that's been happening in America in the last 2 years, and the fact that for some crazy like coincidence, Russia is in the middle of the whole American political discussion and seems stuck there and doesn't seem to be going away, I decided already a couple of years ago that we had to come back. And we came back early in 2017, and we've been having a fantastic time. It's a great time to be in America if you're in politics or writing about politics. It's absolutely the most amazing story at this point.
Now, you also have a Russian wife, and you both decided to have the baby in America. Why is that? Anchor baby. I'm teasing.
Yeah, no, it's not an anchor baby thing, because you can have the baby in Russia, and as an because I'm an American, I get it. Yeah. I go down to the embassy, and they just hand the kid a passport. This is my fourth child. I've done this now many times.
Great.
Yeah, no, I don't know if you want to have this in your show, but my wife wanted to have this last baby in Russia. It was important to her to have the baby in Russia. And all my previous children have been born in Russia. And the healthcare is very good here and very wonderful. And we've had a good experience every time.
And see, to me, I just think, oh my gosh, the healthcare system here, they're just in it for the money. It's just crazy, you know? Geez, the things you can do in Europe for so much less money. They don't just rake you over the coals.
Oh, it's incredible. It's
Ugh.
incredible. I mean, it's one of the great symptoms, I think, of that America's in big trouble is what's wrong with how bad their healthcare system is and how it's malfunctioning. And it's a reflection on a society that's got to sort itself out. It's a mess.
I think the other thing is that Putin is really into supporting family. He has quite the family policy there. He's encouraging birth rates, and I think there is quite a baby boom happening there, correct? Isn't there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a really big deal. For the Russians, it's also a national security issue. They have a serious problem of underpopulation. Their country is enormous and spread out, over 9 time zones, and they're being pushed on all borders by people who are having a lot more babies than they are. It's the Chinese, it's the Middle East, the Caucasus, Turkey, places like that. And they desperately need to increase their birth rate. And the government is pushing this very hard. And it's very interesting because we're eligible as a family, since my wife is a Russian citizen and my children have Russian passports, we're eligible for this support. And I think, I forget what it is now. I think something like for this latest baby, we're getting $10,000 or something like that
Wow, that's excellent. See?
from the Russian government.
Yeah. I mean, if a government was really serious about encouraging birth rates, across Europe, they could easily do it. They could easily incentivize it, but it's incentivized in the opposite direction, as we know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And a big part of this also, it's very interesting, is the Russian church and priests regularly going on television and haranguing people and saying, look, you're not supposed to, I mean, 3 or 4 kids is not a lot of kids. You should be having 7 or 8 kids or 10 kids if you can. And so, and some people are responding and you see a definite uptick, but they still got a long way to go because most people are still sort of in the European,
Yeah.
the European mode where 2 kids is enough. We'll replace ourselves and that's it.
I think too, what's
So.
different in Russia is they don't get the propaganda of like, oh, mix yourself out, have Asian babies or something, like in Sweden and Germany, they're being encouraged to have
Yeah,
babies that aren't Swedish and German anymore,
that's definitely not happening, and it's not going to happen. The people, Russians here are very, nationalistic about Russians as a race and as an ethnicity, and they've got a lot of other ethnicities in the country, but they don't have any problem with saying we don't want them to be in control or want them to be too many of them, and we want this place to be white and Russian and Christian. And, for us white Russian Christians. So, yeah, in that way, it's a very based society, and it's a very, I call it like red pill nation here. I mean, people are just completely not living in sort of the delusional fantasy that a lot of liberals live in Europe and America.
Well, I wanted to get your comment on. There was something that came out today. Putin is getting slammed for saying Jews might have interfered in the US election. What are your comments about this story?
I mean, yeah, obviously I saw this. We didn't even cover this on Russian Insider because
I saw that.
I think it's such a silly story. Basically, in Russia, it's not considered in any way insulting to mention that somebody is ethnicity. So, in the same way that Americans wouldn't think it's insulting if you mentioned something about Polish, just say this person's Polish or that person's Italian or something. That's not insulting, right? So all he was saying was there are a bunch of other people who might have been doing this who aren't necessarily Russian. They might be, of these other ethnicities. And it's very common figure of speech in Russian. It's not meant, it doesn't have the slightest like shade or hint of anything negative or insulting or derogatory. And but of course the Western media jumps on this and tries to make this into some kind of a big deal when it's absolutely completely not. And it's indicative of a pathetic level of seriousness in the American media.
And then, of course, they keep talking about how anti-Semitic he is, right? Any truth to that?
Absolutely like zero, like negative. I wish he was more anti-Semitic. The guy is a complete, he the Russian government goes to extraordinary levels to try and be positive and friendly to Israel, to Jewish interests and Jewish minorities, and are constantly going out of their way to emphasize their lack of anti-Semitic behavior and attitudes. And the thing is, he's not really accused very much of being anti-Semitic because he just isn't by any measure at all. Nothing to it.
No, thinking in terms of
fake news.
Yeah, it's fake news. Censorship. let's talk about American censorship, and then also, is censorship happening the same way in Russia? Are internet providers cutting people off who are saying, you know, anti-Semitic things? I mean, what's the situation there?
Well, no, it's not happening in Russia because the main platforms are not Russian, right? I mean, the Russians also use YouTube and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. They do have their own version of Facebook, and no, that's not censored in the same way because you don't have this SJW attitude among the people who own the Russian platforms that do exist. And it's not happening on any other level either. It's really something that's happening in the West.
Oh, it's so bad. I mean, they are cracking down on just really light, you know, politically just not even hard people. It's just amazing to me. Now, what do you think is the solution?
Yeah, well, listen, you have to. I mean, I'm actually in the same boat as you, right? I'm an American citizen. My publications are registered in the U.S. We're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, we're on everything. And yeah, we're a total victim of this. We're totally getting trashed, muted, you know, blocked. We can't get into Google search. We can't get into Google News. We're constantly getting strikes on our videos and all kinds of baloney, right? And it's a huge, big issue. And I'm actually glad that it's ratcheting up because it's going to force a discussion in America about what we're going to do about that. And you already see this happening with people pushing back and conservative politicians coming out and saying, we got to do something about this. And they will do something about it. I'm absolutely sure about it. And it's something I'm going to certainly be talking about a lot over the next coming months and years. And it's un-American. It's unconstitutional. And, you know, people are starting to sue the platforms. People are starting to put up political programs around it. And Americans are going to accept this. It's not going to work. I mean, it's kind of a pathetic, you know, last-ditch effort to try and save a sinking ship. And it's going to be a complete and total failure.
Yeah, it's utter desperation. Sheer desperation. Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, they're even editing, you know, or censoring videos that have 10,000 views. They can't even have that up there. It's just outrageous. Now, what do you think the solution is for these big tech platforms to prevent censorship? Do we make them public? A lot of people have talked about that.
Yeah, either they should be just flat out nationalized, and the people who did this censorship should be charged with crimes.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, punished, preferably in a public space. No, I think, you know, any kind of, it doesn't really matter how it happens. It can be regulation. It can be outright nationalization. But it definitely has to be stopped.
Now, God, it's just such a mess in America. Just the left is just so loud and they're dominating in every way. How do we get out of this situation?
Is very, very simple. No, it's funny you should ask me that because I think about it all the time, and I've got a very quick answer, ready answer for you. It's the media, stupid, right? Mm-hmm. It's the reason this happens in America is because the media is controlled by these lefty SJW types, and the only way things are going to change, and the way things are going to get better, is if Americans step up and create media that is not controlled by these people and stop sending advertising dollars to these publications and these TV stations. What do they say? We're the 99%. So it's not that hard to do. Our economic clout and power is enormous. And all we have to do is organize and do it. And it's already started. The only thing that I'm really surprised about is that Trump hasn't done more in this area, because there was a lot of talk when he got elected that you know, he realized that the media was totally against him and that he would have to basically start something to be a counterweight to that. I think the fact that he hasn't done it is a massive strategic mistake, and I don't understand why.
I guess we have to put the pressure on him. I mean, he's got to know that this form of censorship is happening on YouTube and Twitter. I mean, it's happening to him in different ways. I mean, come on, help us out here, especially when a lot of these people had voted for him. He needs to step up and help these people out.
Absolutely. And he's opening himself up to a hell of a lot of criticism if he doesn't do it. Yeah, and this is something also I'm going to be, we've decided to go on a massive fundraising drive now in the spring. By the way, I should just tell your readers, we've got a form. I wrote an article about Jewish influence, and the form just happens to be in that article. So go on our website, click on that article, and give us your email address if you're willing to, if you're not intimidated by this stupid bullying and this un-American censorship. And we're going to be reaching out to people, and we're as much a political movement, I've realized, as we are a publication. And we're going to go out there and just really start talking to people and saying, look, step up, put up the money, and we will turn this situation around. We're this close to winning.
Yep,
I believe this close to winning.
Step up.
And it's just a couple
donate.
Of bucks away, you know. Yeah. And people are waking up, and they're going to respond to this. You know, and if Trump wants to make himself part of the problem and get in the way, then he's going to get sort of a painful awakening if he doesn't respond to it.
I agree. It's important now more than ever. Support alternative media. This exactly. This is the way out of it. Now, are you being harassed quite a bit? I mean, the name Russia Insider, all the Russia hysteria in the news. Every day there's a story about how evil Russia is and how Putin did this and that and that. What do you deal with?
You know what? I'll tell you, it's funny now that you asked me that question. No, we're not. And I think when I think about why, I think, you know, this is funny. We're sort of the tough guy, you know, the sort of the, how do you say this? We're the more outspoken sort of person in the room when it comes to things Russian and the alternative media, and we really hammer people, and we're kind of merciless about it. We use a lot of humor, and I think people actually are a little bit intimidated, and they're like, "Uh-oh, you know, don't go criticizing Russia Insider because it's going to come back and kick you in a way that you are not going to appreciate." And better to let you know, don't feed the trolls because we're big time trolls, and. So, you know, and we ridicule people and make fun of them, which is a very easy thing to do in today's environment when it comes to Russia. And so, yeah, people realize that if they poke us with a stick, all they do is they raise our image and they end up getting the worst of it.
Now, you said troll. You know, Russia's been accused of having these troll farms. Do you want to comment on that? I mean, it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's... Of course, it's stupid. You know, I think it's very hard to say anything really, really new or like important on this in that whole debate because it's gone to the center of the American political discussion, and you've got, you know, Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and Glenn Greenwald and some major heavyweight guys pointing out how preposterous and ridiculous this is. So for me to throw in my two cents. Yes, it's preposterous and ridiculous, but there's nothing I can add to what those guys haven't said already. It's complete and utter nonsense. And the people who are believing it and drinking the Kool-Aid, you know, are brain dead. Really, they're stupid. I don't know what's wrong with them. They still, you know, believe this thing. I mean, Rachel Maddow's audience never ceases to amaze me to the extent that they'll keep believing the stuff she shovels at them. But the fact that they do believe it is very, very evident to me because in the States, I interact all the time with, liberals and socialize with them and deal with them at dinner parties and social events and God knows what. And it's incredible. I don't understand.
So they
But
ever
anyway,
freak
that's
out
another
and
topic.
say, oh no, there's a fascist at the dinner party. They go Google you. He was a really nice guy, you know, and then they go Google and then they're like, oh no,
Yeah, but
he's a
it,
Nazi.
well, yeah, it's not even it's not fascism or Nazis, but they you know, I sit there and I say, you know, that's not true what they say about Vladimir Putin. Those are flat out lies that are invented by people who have an interest in demonizing this guy, and they look at me like I'm crazy. They're like, really? You don't think he's like, you know, Dr. Evil and
He's
out to
hanging
destroy the West
gaze,
and
you know, he's hanging gaze and looking for a few non-whites
stuff?
and putting
I'm
them in
like,
camps.
guys, you're so deluded, you know, just but anyway, that's why we exist, because these people are deluded. It gives us a market.
Now, Russia is kind of going for third way politics, correct? I mean, they're really against fascism. Obviously, they didn't like Germany and National Socialists at the time, but it was communist at the time, as we know. So what form of system is it that they're going for there?
It's a real you know it's a sort of strong central government, strong state, power concentrated in the government, not anywhere else. And so in that way, I think the closest analogs and models are Asian, South Korea, China. Those kinds of countries. That's kind of where Russia's going. And what they've definitely done is they've rejected democracy. Now, they wouldn't be happy for me to say that because that I say that because they make a big deal about, you know, their elections and they claim that we're a democratic country, but that is definitely a fig leaf. And it's very interesting that many, many Russians think democracy is ridiculous and stupid and a fraud and a fake and something that that just doesn't work and should never be used as a way to govern the country. And it's openly discussed here on the talk shows. There are a lot of monarchists in Russia. The Russian church is very powerful and very, you know, influential, and they're straight up monarchists. It's part of their religion. They believe that the monarch is anointed by God to rule, you know, and that's the way it should be, and that's the way it always was, and except for the 20th century. And they're like, we should go back to the way it was for the ninth, you know, the 6,000 years before the 20th centuries, and have kings who are anointed by God. So yeah, it's an interesting situation. It's a You know, Russia's a great country in the sense that it really broadens your horizons. All these ideas that are off limits in the West are openly discussed here in a much more free and open way. And in that sense, it's very interesting. Even though there's a strong government control over the main TV stations and everything, there's a very freewheeling discussion everywhere else. And the internet is totally open here, and there's a lot of criticism of Putin, and I mean, extraordinary criticism of Putin, from very, very harsh, you know, harsh criticism of him, and a lot of Russians see it all the time. So it's very open in that sense. It's controlled but open at the same time. It's contradictory, like a lot of things in Russia, actually.
Now, are there denial laws in Russia?
You're going to have to tell me what that is. I don't know what that is.
Holocaust denial laws, you know, like Germany and other places. They have that where you can't
Yes,
question or talk about the Holocaust.
no, there is a degree of this. I don't know the details, but I know that Mein Kampf is forbidden here to be published or sold in bookstores, and also, and it wasn't before, but they instituted this, like, you know, I'm not an expert on this, maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, and then but there's also a law against inciting racial hatred, and this can be sort of broadly sort of defined by the judges, and yeah, so you can't get on the airwaves and start yelling about the Jews or something. You'd be probably, you know, fined or something.
That's what I've heard. Now, why do you think globalists are targeting Russia so much? Why do they hate Russia so much?
Oh God, that's something I write about a lot on Russia Insider and publish other people's work, and that's a whole podcast, right? So because it's very complex and there's a lot of moving pieces and moving parts about it. A lot of it is historical, going back for centuries, really, when you look at it. So it's sort of like built into the DNA of a lot of people in the West criticizing Russia. But another big reason is that Russia's like this giant linchpin country that is not under their control. So many all the European countries are, you can say, are under control by the globalists. And China, in a way, is very much controlled by it in terms of their economics. And Japan is controlled by it, and Brazil. And Russia is sort of the outlier, where for a kind of historical accident in the nature of their economy and the fact that they're not hugely dependent on international finance, and have a very powerful military that they inherited from the Soviet Union, that they're, you know, they're doing their own thing, and they're like standing up to globalism all, you know, everywhere in the world, and they're becoming heroes to millions and millions of people because of this. And it's a fascinating thing. But the globalists don't have that much control here. They don't control the media. They don't control the government. They don't control the defense establishment. And Russia is in their way in very many places, in the Middle East, in Europe, and on all these SJW issues. And so, you know, Russia is the last line of defense. If Russia goes down, the world is in big trouble.
Exactly. Do you
Believe
think that
me.
it could ever escalate into a war type of situation? Because, you know, America's reckless and they're warmongers and they don't like Russia.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. You know, this is actually a stressful job. My job is actually very stressful because we sit there and we drill down into all this stuff on a daily basis. And I can't tell you how many times over the last 3 years since I started Russia Insider, I get this like pit in my
Oh,
stomach,
yeah.
like, God, this looks bad. I mean, this, you know, a war might start here. And in fact, a war has started. In fact, no, two wars have started. The first war is in the Ukraine. And, you know, I'm sorry, but 40,000 people have died there. 40,000 people. And the Russians, right? I mean, half of them are Ukrainians on the Ukraine side, but those people are essentially Russians. They're
Yeah,
ethnic Russian.
awful.
And the Russians are very much aware of this, and they feel like they've been attacked. And they feel like there are 40,000 dead people because of the American aggression against them. And I would have to agree with them on that. And yeah, that's awful. And that's a gruesome, gruesome war, and very upsetting thing to have to write about and dig into the details of that. But then the other one that's happened is in Syria, where, you know, Russian servicemen are on the front lines and they're getting killed by American proxies. How is that not a war, you know?
So, what do you think about Putin showing off their new weapons systems?
Yeah, this is absolutely an enormous, enormous story. We've been writing about nothing else since it happened. It broke at the end of last week. Yeah, it's a direct response to American aggression, but it's a brilliant response. And he's totally, totally stuffed the United States and made them look fantastically stupid and done an end run on their military system, really, their incredible trillion-dollar military budget, which exists almost exclusively now, probably just to intimidate and threaten Russia. And what's so interesting is, you know, we follow very carefully what's being written about Russia in the American media, and American media is not talking about this in the way it needs to. They are not facing up to the fact that something that have America, the American defense establishment, has egg on its face in a terrible, terrible way. I mean, their whole, you know, offensive system against Russia that they've poured hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars into, basically trillions of dollars, because whatever, you know, that's how much it adds up to on a yearly basis, is obsolete. And what's more, the Russian weapons could blow up America at this point without America being able to do anything about it. So if Russia was really this evil, like, you know, nasty doctor, if Putin was Dr. Evil and Russia was this terrible country, they could just take America out right now.
Yeah.
And they're basically sitting there saying, well, we're not going to do that because we're not that kind of people. But believe me, if you guys push us too far, we will, you know. And it's a very, very, very big deal. And America and the American media has just been terribly stupid about it. They don't know what to say. And it's got to, you know, it's interesting. Is it going to turn into a political issue in America? I mean, is the American defense establishment going to take responsibility for the fact that they totally, you know, wasted a ton of money? Is the American intelligence community going to be called to task that they totally missed this? Because the Russians, in order to put out a generation of weapons like this, you know, massive resources have to be put in on for many years. I mean, they've been working on this for 10 years. We're talking about research institutes, scientists, factories, military testing, you know, bombs going off. A big, big, big project has been underway for years, and it's delivered absolutely extraordinary results, and America had no idea. And, you know, America's running around like trying to catch some trolls and saying, hey, you meddled in our election with your $100,000 from Facebook. And, you know, all this baloney our intelligence agencies are doing. And they missed the biggest strategic move in the last 60 years. I mean, this hasn't happened since the Cuban Missile Crisis. And it's a big, big, big deal, and it's being talked about actively in the alternative media and very intelligently and very well. And there's this vast wealth of information about it out there. A lot of it is on our site, I can only encourage people to go and read about this because this is really big, and it somehow hasn't come through to the Americans yet because not Fox News, not Tucker Carlson, not Sean Hannity, not Donald Trump, not what like. Is sort of like the alternative media somehow, or what, conservative media in America, they haven't admitted this yet because it's just too embarrassing. So, yeah, the American people, when they find out about this, are going to be angry.
Now, one of the things that they were pushing is that, oh, we were showing some of that animation of that cruise missile that they're flying. They were saying, oh, Putin wants to strike Florida with a nuke. when you heard that?
Because when they were showing this like these videos about how this might look, and it happened to be flying, looked like it was aimed at Florida or something, which I'm sure was totally, you know, that's not the point, right? Nobody's even thinking about that, and they don't even care about whether Trump has a house in Florida or whatever, what they think is going on in Florida. But it's just another example of how you've got this massive historic, you know, geostrategic shift of like immense importance. And the American media is talking about the fact that they're targeting Mar-a-Lago. I mean, are you guys serious? You know, I mean, you know, but that's, I guess, what you have to do when you don't want to talk about the main thing, which is, America just got totally, you know, stuffed. They got stuffed, you know, by a country with a defense budget 15 times smaller than them, with an economy, you know, whatever, 20 times smaller, with half the population. And the Russians are out front now with a whole new bunch of weapons that renders the entire American anti-ballistic missile system obsolete. Can't do anything anymore. It's just sitting there. Just a pilot basically throw away.
Exactly. These elites are more paranoid about Russia now that it's traditional versus when it was communist, right? A lot of, you know, lefties here like to make fun of the McCarthy era. Oh, the paranoia. And then look at how they're acting now. This is just sheer insanity. At least back then there was a true threat, communism, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It's one of the great contradictions and weirdnesses of our age that the Russia that's emerged after communism, which is supposedly what the West should like because it's Christian, because it's free market, it's capitalist, and it's no longer having this, you know, has this ideology that's so hostile to what the West thought was hostile, is now enemy number one. It makes no sense. And you have to wonder who, it's, you know, when you drill into who these people are and why they're pushing this anti-Russian thing, it gets really, really, really interesting. So,
yeah, they can't possibly believe their own lies. They just want war. They just want to take all these people out. And sometimes I wonder if they think, oh, there's some white people secluded up there in the cold living a traditional life and having 8 children. We can't have this, you know, gotta shut it down.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the big things here also, this is very interesting, is this total rejection of the globo homo thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, Russians are just like, no, I'm sorry. No. That's not going to happen. And we're not accepting it. And it's interesting that over the last, I saw a poll recently that over the last 4 or 5 years, acceptance on this issue has dropped dramatically. Like if it was at 30%, now it's like at 15. I mean, people are like, sorry, like we're not buying this stuff. Take your fags somewhere else. you know, and, you know, so people say, oh, it's Putin and it's the government. I mean, it's not, it's the people. People yeah. really don't buy this. And it's interesting. I mentioned the church earlier. The church, people don't realize how powerful the church is here. It's like, it's nothing like the church in Europe and America, because it's kind of like in this like close symphony with the government. And so if you were going to describe it something, you'd maybe just compare it to Iran, right? Or some country like that, where there's like a close sort of cooperation between church and state. And obviously it's not as much a theocratic state as Iran, but that's what you have to think of in terms of. But anyway, they're influential, right? And they have strong support from the government. And they are zero tolerance on this stuff. Zero. Like, they're like, imagine your most conservative, like Southern Baptist, you know, you'll burn in hell if you do this kind of thing. That's where the Russian church is on this. And they talk about it all the time in the parishes, on the TVs and the radio and everything.
Like, and by the time it gets back to leftist media, it's Russia is hanging gays, you know, they're gassing gays in Russia. I mean, that's how ridiculous it turns into, you know.
Yeah. No, you know, there's not violence. And I mean, I guess there might be in some like extreme sort of cases. I think you always have that in society where somebody sort of gets angry or whatever. But on the whole, no, it's a very sort of kind and sort of warm and gentle sort of people. So they're not hard on people that way, even if they disagree.
I also wanted to ask you about, on Russia Insider, you put up an article about Samantha Powers, who was blaming the collapse of the Italian establishment parties on Putin. So what did you think about the recent election? Italy shifted right. And of course, they were already wanting to blame Putin beforehand because they knew the rightist parties were gaining traction.
Yeah. No, it's incredibly heartening. It's wonderful. You know, it's a continuation of basically the whole Brexit phenomenon and the what's happening in Germany with the rise of the right wing AfD. There is a very close friendship, you know, between Russia and Italy. And it goes back for decades back into communist days, because the Italian communists were very close with the USSR. And there's an enormous cultural exchange and a lot of movies and opera and all kinds of stuff and music. And there's this great commonality and friendship between Italian and Russian people that goes very deep and is very, and so I think you could say that for a lot of Italians, Putin is a hero. And a lot of, you know, anti-SJW Italians, there are close ties to Russia and close ties with Russian political organizations and groups. So, yeah, I know what Samantha Powers was saying is ridiculous, but there's a lot of friendship and a lot of interaction.
Well, I also have to ask you, you wrote this article that just, you know, made the rounds. It's called It's Time to Drop the Jew Taboo. But I think that we should take a quick break and then we can come back and we can discuss all about it. If you want to hear the rest of this interview, head on over to redicemembers.com, where Charles and I will continue the conversation on an article he wrote titled It's Time to Drop the Jew Taboo. But before that, Charles, tell people how they can help support Russia Insider.
Yeah, well, we're always looking for writers. So please, if you'd like to contribute articles, we'd be delighted to take a look at your stuff. My email's on the site, easy to reach me. I tend to get back to people. I'm going to go on a major fun drive in the coming weeks and months. And basically, I've been in Russia all these years. We've recently moved back. We've kind of got ourselves settled. And, you know, it's time for the American people to step up and start funding a media that can really make a difference. Because I mentioned this in the article. The media is the most important lever of power in our society. It's more important than Congress. It's more important than the president. It's more important than any bureaucracy. And it's very, very strongly in the hands of Jewish interests. And the only way things are going to improve is if we build a media that is not in the hands of Jewish interests. And we have to do this. And, it's time for people to step up. And the funny thing is that this isn't that expensive anymore. It used to be like, you know, this really big deal. You had to have like a Henry Ford behind you to come up with a media platform. Now you just need literally a few million dollars. I mean, that kind of money in America, you can raise it without really straining much of anything. And it's the only way that things are going to improve, certainly in terms of Russia. This endless tapestry of lies about Russia and what's going on with Russia is coming from Jewish media. And what's interesting about it, I study the media like in depth. It's very different. Like if you're a casual reader of the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, whatever, Washington Post, you pick up on it. You say, yeah, there seems to be bias there. When you study this thing 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, you can see that the more Jewish the publication, the more extreme and hysterical and off the charts the lying and the criticism is and the subterfuge. And it's really awful. And it's feeding a massive, massive industry that's leading the world. I mean, we've come very close in the last 3 years. I think I said in the first half, like an all-out war with Russia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 40,000 Russians have already died because of American basically proxy, war fighting in the Ukraine. This is scary stuff. It's serious stuff. But even 10 people being killed is wrong. So I think, it's the responsibility of Americans. It's a patriotic duty of Americans to not be intimidated. I'm not intimidated. Tens of thousands of other people aren't intimidated. People are standing up. And I would just say to people, look, rotten, repressive, evil, dishonest systems have a way of continuing for a long time. But when they just become too preposterous and too ridiculous and something changes in the landscape and they become no longer tenable, they collapse very rapidly. And we've seen this happen in our lifetime. I remember so well as a German never thinking that the Berlin Wall would ever come down in my lifetime. And it was just completely unexpected by everybody. And then suddenly, literally, it happened within, there were a couple months, but then even then people didn't, and then literally it was gone within a few days. And people were going back and forth across the wall. The same thing with the Soviet Union collapsing. It was a preposterous, ridiculous system, and it collapsed under the weight of its own contradictions. And this is basically what I think is happening in America now, is this preposterous evil system is going to come down with a crash. And if enough people stand up and start talking about it, it'll happen.
I agree 100%. Members, we'll see you on the other side.